Okay, good afternoon, everyone. We're going to begin very, very shortly. Well, it's really such a special joy to see especially the younger ones coming to join us at Youth Worship, and it's just great to see all of you here. Well, we hope that you'll be able to focus along the way and as well as to follow. And if you need any help at all, just go ahead and reach out to some of the older ones. And older ones as well can look out for them, help them with all that they need help with. Well, we're going to begin, and it's the second youth worship of the year already. And, you know, what is one principle of worship that applies all the time, something that we can apply? And that principle is this word called preparation. You know, later on during worship, there would be different segments. There would be the singing segment, there would be the scripture reading, there would be a prayer segment, and there is a part for the preaching of the Word of God. Right? And each and every part has this thing we call preparation. So I want to encourage you as we begin for youth worship today to bear in mind this word called preparation. Shortly, we're going to have this thing we call the prelude. And at this time, we take time to prepare our hearts. There are different ways to do this. Some people take time to quieten their hearts to pray. And some of you would take a bit of time to read the scriptures. I would encourage you to do that. Today is Deuteronomy 11. Okay, but take the time to quieten your heart and ready yourself. And if we can do that, then somehow worship would be a whole lot more meaningful. And we'll be so much more ready to receive that word from God. Okay, so take a bit of time now to settle down, find a seat, settle down, and then we're going to have the prelude shortly. Okay? Pray as we begin. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this whole idea of youth worship. We thank you that this has come to be a place that many of us have come to find you real, have come to hear a word from you. We want to thank you especially for the younger ones who are joining us. We ask that you would today bring a special word of blessing to each and everyone who is here. We ask that you encourage the hearts of all who do their part for youth worship, that you will continue to strengthen them and help them. We ask that you would bless as we begin today's worship. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. OK, Okay, I'm going to hand time over to the song leaders.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Youth Worship.
I'm Clara.
And I'm Nat. And if you're feeling a sense of deja vu,
you'd be right.
Clarinet is back! Easter is fast approaching, and last week, Pastor presented us with an opportunity to put together our own Easter testimony booklet featuring our own personal testimonies of what Easter meant to us. This booklet will serve as an avenue to invite our friends to join us in the celebrating of Easter and how Christ is at work in our lives.
If you would like to contribute a testimony and share how faith has been real and personal to you, we warmly invite you to contact any of the following: Jovan, Chris, Gloria, and Esther, and you may refer to the bulletin for more details.
Today, Clara and I would like to share how we are desiring to step into the new year with faith, especially as we would be heading back to Australia for our studies once again. For me, one thing I would like to take into the new year with me as I head to Perth is the newfound joy I have discovered in the Lord at the youth conference. 2025 was a year full of new experiences for me, not just because it was a year that where I took a gap year and I took a break, but also because it was a year where I rediscovered my faith in a very personal and different way. At the Post Youth Conference program just a few weeks ago, I shared about discovering and experiencing the love of God. But what I didn't share was that when I had discovered the love of God for myself, it came with an unexpected source of joy. Not just a joy that came from trusting in Him, but a deeper joy that came from discovering His love and knowing that we can have this hope in Him. This joy felt new and different. It uplifted my spirits in a different way, and in that moment, I remember feeling that I could overcome any barriers in front of me. Having tasted the goodness and the sweetness of this joy, it felt natural to want more of it and to cling onto it and to keep seeking it. Joy comes through when it is sought, because this joy is one that thrives on our relationship with the Lord and His presence in our lives. I remember Pastor sharing Proverbs 17, verse 22 at the Junior Camp last year. And maybe some of you were not there, but I think the 13 and 12-year-olds can relate to this. Because Pastor shared that like medicine, joy can bring strength and renewal in times of weakness. And it strengthens us to keep going when we feel like we can't push ourselves out anymore. As the new year begins, one challenge I'm taking with me is learning how to respond differently when things don't go favorably. In the past, my natural response was often to have a spirit of one that complained and dwelt on the negative, and I've realized how easily that strips away the joy from me. When we read the book of Numbers, where the children of Israel grumbled about food, water, and even the promised land that the Lord had lovingly given them, I saw a reflection of myself in them. They were so focused on the hardships that they had forgotten how the Lord had faithfully provided for them and that had delivered them each time. And I found myself doing the same. But more recently, things have been a little different and I've noticed a change. When I am faced with challenges and situations that I'm not particularly very fond of, my mind doesn't immediately go to complaining, and instead, questions like, what is the Lord trying to teach me through this experience, pops up and naturally comes to mind. And I'm reminded of His provisions that still stand even in the midst of difficulty. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18 read, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of Jesus Christ for you." This verse used to perplex me, and I never really understood how rejoicing and giving thanks in every situation and even adversity was possible. But after experiencing the reality of joy that I found in the Lord in my own life, this verse has become so much more real and personal to me. Gratitude now comes not because my circumstances have changed, but because my heart has. God, joy doesn't come from the Lord. Joy from the Lord doesn't remove challenges, but it can actually change how we walk through them. Looking to the new year, I hope to carry this joy that sustains, a joy that endures through the trials we face, and a joy that upholds us as we go through these trials. The first song I've chosen for today is May the Peoples Praise You. This song reflects a hope that I have for myself, that my life would reflect the grace, love, and joy the Lord has given me. When these are real to us, praise naturally comes as a response. So as we sing, if you found this joy, hold on to it and lift your praises to Him. And if you are still searching, don't stop, because you can find it too. Thank you, and let's take this song together.
Thank you to the musicians and the AV team for supporting us today. I'm currently on my 3-month summer break after finishing a semester of studies in Melbourne, and as school resumes soon, my prayer and goal is to return with renewed diligence and a deeper love for the Lord, to continue learning more about who He is. As I reflected on how the past year has been, I realized there was progress. I took my faith more seriously, but one thing was still missing, and it was diligence. I was not growing in my knowledge on my own accord. I tried, but I wasn't able to establish a commitment and routine to read God's word each day. And as the semester passed by, as exams came up, I came to realize one thing. Why was it that I was able to be diligent in my studies, able to push through tiredness, stress, and long hours to do what was needed to do well, but when it came to reading the Bible, that diligence was sorely lacking? This is when I realized that it was because my faith in the Lord was not as important to me as I thought. There were no immediate physical consequences if I skipped reading a few days in a row. So slowly, God became someone I only turned to when it was convenient for me, and only when I sought His help. I felt guilty and disappointed because I kept falling into the same pattern. But after the youth conference, I realized how much I needed to grow, and not just so I wouldn't repeat the same routine of not growing, but because I didn't want my faith to stay stagnant, and I genuinely wanted to respond to Him. I was encouraged by a verse Pastor shared found in Isaiah 28, verse 10, which reads, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." It reminded me that God works in me, slowly, gently, and faithfully, and my growth in faith is not meant to be instantaneous. What encouraged me even more was knowing that I am not justified by my works, but by my faith in Him, and that God works through grace, not condemnation. After learning more about prayer at the youth conference, I realized that prayer shouldn't be a replacement for obedience, but because God invites us to pray, but He also calls us to act. For 2026, I'm learning to seek God not just as someone I go to church for, but as my strength and my hope. I know that building a steadfast relationship and commitment to learn more about the Lord takes time, but I'm grateful that God, in His grace, keeps calling me back. As I begin the new year, I'm reminded that God has given each of us time and opportunities to know Him, and often we're so busy and caught up with life that we forget to respond to Him intentionally. For me, the desire to read God's word does not come from suddenly becoming disciplined, but from knowing how much I lack and how much I need God to work in my life, so that I may have a faith rooted in my love for the Lord and His word. I'd like to end with a verse taken from Deuteronomy 4, verse 29, which reads, "But from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." This verse reminds me that no matter where we are in our faith, God promises that He can be found by those who seek Him sincerely, where He waits for us to return to Him with our whole heart. And this leads to our next song, Knowing You. And in the second verse it says, "Now my heart's desire is to know You more, to be found in You and known as Yours." This reflects my prayer for the year, to have a heart that is receptive to the Lord, that would actively seek to know Jesus more, not just in moments of need, but as a daily response of my heart. Let's take this song together.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 1 to 17. In this text, Moses proclaimed the greatness of the Lord and what he had done for Israel. He called them to love the Lord and to earnestly keep his commandments as they go into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, to Pharaoh king of Egypt and to all his land, what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day. What he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which he did.
Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year.
And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you.
Well, good afternoon, young people. Thank you for all who have been a part of the worship thus far. Thank you to the scripture readers. Thank you to clarinet. It was really good. You know, Clara and Natalie. Okay, now we move on. I'm here to pray for everyone, okay? I tried. I'm here to pray for everyone, and it's important to have this thing called, we have a pastoral prayer. Why is the pastoral prayer important? Two reasons I can think of. One, when we pray together, it connects us all together. But more importantly, too, when we pray, we are connected to God. And that's what we're going to try to do at this whole worship service, is to be connected to God. And I have prepared a prayer for us this afternoon. And this prayer is as such, in one line it can be read, that our hearts may be set aright and that we may have a faithful spirit to God. Now, why did I choose this prayer? You see, in the reading of the book of Deuteronomy, as Pastor Ben will explain, the book of Deuteronomy is one big part of it is review. A review of the 40 years of Israel's time in the wilderness. Along the way, severe mistakes were made. Sins were committed. And the purpose of why we read Deuteronomy is to not repeat the same mistakes that our forefathers or the forefathers of Israel that they committed. And so the next generation were meant to learn from them. And you will see this very much of how the people in Israel, how they failed very badly in the wilderness. Because even in the Psalms, in Psalm 78, this psalmist reflected on this part of Israel's history. This is how he described the Israelites back then. He called them a stubborn and rebellious generation. But listen to this. A generation that did not set its heart aright. And one more. And whose spirit was not faithful to God. And so even as we read Deuteronomy, what is our thought? What should be our response? And that's why this prayer, that we may not be stubborn or rebellious. But how do we not be stubborn or rebellious? One, let us make sure our hearts are set aright. And for some of you who are here today, perhaps you have been forced by your parents to come. Perhaps you've been, guilt-tripped by your friends. Oh, you must come for youth worship or else. Well, what is the or else? I don't know. But may your hearts be set aright. May your hearts be here and not be somewhere else. That's how we set our hearts aright. May our spirits also be faithful to God. You know, you have started well this year. You have been coming. Well, keep on coming. Keep on learning. Set your heart aright. Let your spirit be faithful to God. And that is how we want to progress in the year 2026. Well, let us go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your word, for how precious lessons have been recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. And Father, we understand that it is not a book that many young people will read. But Father, we pray very much that you will open this book to us, because there are so many wonderful things that we can learn from it. And Father, we also recognize that along the way we are weak, we are inconsistent, and we pray, Father, that you will forgive us and you will change us. Change our hearts that it may be set upon you, that we may listen to you wholeheartedly. Correct our spirits that it may follow you faithfully and not be distracted by ourselves, by our friends, or by the many activities that we have. Father, we pray that you help us to learn to set our hearts aright and be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you to each and every one who has played a part in worship this afternoon. Well, we're going to look at this text here that was read out to us, and that would be Deuteronomy chapter 11. Okay. And the book of Deuteronomy is, no doubt, it is a challenging book to read and to understand. But if we were to persist in it, I want to say to you that there are lessons that can be found. It can become relevant. It can become applicable if you stick to reading it and trying to understand it. And that's why we pray and ask the Lord to help us to understand things. Okay, we're going to look at Deuteronomy 11 today, but I want to share this chapter with you from this angle. And I want to begin this message by asking you this. How do we look at success in life? I think this is something that we all understand, right? Every one of us wants to succeed in our life, correct? I mean, you when in your studies, I don't think anybody has a resolution 2026. What's your resolution? I want to fail everything. I don't think that's going to happen. But how do we look at it, right? In your studies, you want to succeed with the hope that in the future, you can succeed and you can do well. So no one plans to fail, right? But how can we look at this idea of success? And I want to share this chapter with you with this idea in mind, because Deuteronomy 11 has much to say about how we may succeed. But first, I want to first define this idea of success. You see, out there in the world, there is the worldly way of looking at success is this: work very hard, hope that things go your way, be a very talented person, and maybe along the way, you would succeed. But when we look at the Bible and when we look at Deuteronomy 11, that's not the way that success is defined. Is there a biblical notion of success? And the answer is yes. One, it involves the person of God. Two, it involves how God can help us overcome odds. You see, in life, there will always be odds that you have to face in order to succeed. And God is going to help you overcome. Three, it is God who will bless, and it is God who will provide abundantly. In other words, a biblical idea of success involves God. And that's what we're trying to share with you at Youth Worship, that we must bring God into our lives. There's nothing wrong with wanting to succeed where you are, right? The sec ones, and you want to do well. Of course you want to do well. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? In your CCA, you want to do well. We're not saying go and buang everything and then be lousy at everything. That's not what we're saying. But bring God into your life, and there can be success. And we look at it. And why do we say this? One, because when we look at the book of Deuteronomy, we've got to bear in mind the whole context of why we are reading this book, right? And the whole context is this: success cannot be taken for granted. We all think that if we work hard, we will do well, we will succeed, right? But that is not necessarily the case. There are many who fail too, right? The whole context of the book of Deuteronomy is this: that before this generation was there, there was a first generation. The book of Deuteronomy, these are not the people who came out of Egypt. Well, most of them are not, anyway. This is second generation. The first generation that came out of Egypt were meant to enter the land of Canaan, the promised land, a long time ago. 40 years ago, or 38 years ago. But they failed to do that. And so here is the second chance for this generation to succeed. Will they succeed or will they fail? It cannot be taken for granted that we would succeed in our lives, right? So what we're reading here in Deuteronomy 11 is basically this. There are principles taught in Deuteronomy that are meant to help this second generation to succeed, right? And a lot of these principles are actually found here in Deuteronomy 11, summarized for us. So I'm going to share these things with you bit by bit so that we can at least get some grasp of what this chapter is all about. Okay, and so some of these biblical principles of how we may succeed. Okay, number one, we look at this, and the word here is called source. Because at the end of the day, you got to ask yourself, what is the source of my success? Out there in the world, they attribute it to themselves. They'll say, it's me, it's my hard work, it's my talent, it's my giftedness. But when we look at Deuteronomy 11, it tells us that the source of success is none other than the Lord our God, right? And this is a very, very important phrase that we look at all the time, okay? We see this in Deuteronomy 11. Look at verse 2 here. Right, it speaks here, know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God. Now, you will see this phrase repeated again and again all throughout the chapters. The Lord your God, the Lord your God. Because this phrase has very, very special meaning. This is the special covenantal name of God. The name that God shared with Moses, and he said, the people of Israel will know me by this name. This is the name that speaks of God's relationship with His people. This is the name that speaks of his commitment to help His people at every stage of their lives, at every stage of their history. So as they look back at the history, so Moses speaks to the first generation, those who were still around for one reason or another. Not all of them would have died out, perhaps. And there were still some. And he said, look, I speak not with your children, but to those who are still, who have seen. And he recalls, he takes time to recall certain things. Look at every significant event that has happened in the history of Israel thus far. What do you see? Right? One, look at the plagues, verse 3. Like the signs, the acts which he did in the midst of Egypt. That was the Lord our God. Right? Look at, for example, the next part of it, how he destroyed the army of Egypt at the Red Sea. That was the Lord our God. Look at the years in the wilderness. Right? Imagine some of them would have grown up in the wilderness even. From 20 years old and grown up to 60 years old, almost 40 years in the wilderness. And they saw how God provided for them with manna, water from the rock, provided for them, protected them for 40 years. This is the Lord our God. And of course, they would have seen chastening as well along the way. But at every significant point of time, it is the Lord our God. And that the importance of that phrase cannot be understated. It is so, so significant. It is God who is the source. It is God who has helped them, taken them from where they are in Egypt to where they are right now, right at the cusp of entering the promised land. 40 years seen them through. It is God. All this while. And that is something that we have to look at, and how do we begin to really appreciate this? Look at verse 7. But your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which he did. You see, and this is where the value of it all comes in. See, sometimes we may be young people, right? And we're not there to see how God has been there, right? So take, for example, we are part of Bethany, and we are Bethany 4, right? You may not have been there at Bethany 1. Hey, but there were people who were there, right? Pastor was there from the beginning. And they will then share truths with us, history with us, things that have happened that tell us one truth. It is all God. It is God all the way who has been there for us. He is the source of our success. And so to these people, Moses said, hey, listen, share these truths with your children. In Psalm 78, that's what it says too. You are to share this with the generation to come, that they may gain that same faith. What is the whole point of it all? To help people place their faith in the Lord, to help people trust in God. God will be there to help us to succeed. Right? So the first part of it is this word we call source. How can we succeed? If you look and say, it's all up to me, well then, that's the worldly idea of it all. For us, as people of God, we say, it is God who will do His part to help us. He will be there. His great acts are seen in the Scriptures. His great acts are seen even in our church in the last 50 years. His great acts will continue to be seen in our lives and in the church in the decades to come. Why? It's not any great confidence in ourselves, but in who God is. The source of it all, the source of success, it is God Himself. And that's something that we can see when we look at this all, when we recall, when we reflect, when we learn from those who have come before us. This is what we see. And God will be there to help us at every stage. And He would be the one that will help us succeed. So this is the first word, right? And this is God, and He will do His part. He is the source of success, number one. Okay. But what about our part in everything? Okay, and this is where I want to share with you, if we were to look at the later part in verse 13. And we read here, and it says, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments. It was well read by the scripture readers. But the second word I want to share with you is the secret of success. You know, when people succeed, you always ask, what's your secret? what's your secret? So Gloria always does well in her studies. Everybody, what's the secret? What's the secret? Right? And she will tell you very straightforwardly, I love studying. So that's the secret. No real secret, open secret. The same when it comes to looking at the scriptures. Actually, it's an open secret. What is the secret? It's no real secret. Right? And I want to share with you this word that is forms the title of our message today in verse 13. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today. Do you know what is the secret? The secret is this word we call earnestly obey. Earnestness is the secret. What is this earnestness idea? There are different words can be used for this word. But for example, this word, you know, to be earnest is what? One, you to be diligent, right? So Clara mentioned this. How can I be diligent in my faith? To be diligent, to be conscientious, to be careful. These are all words that form up this idea of being earnest. And earnestness is that quality that distinguishes between those who succeed and those who fail. And that is true, right? When we have an exam coming up, that's we are very earnest in studying, right? If you have IPPT, for those who are going into the army, right? And then if you pass your IPPT, you get 2 months off the army. Hooray! So train very hard, earnest, right? To make sure that I am able to pass that thing. See, earnestness is something that the Lord requires of us. And that is absolutely important to look at. But I mean, let's look at it. Look at the context of Deuteronomy again. Look at the example of Israel, right? There was that first generation. It is not that they were totally disobedient, right? There were some points in which they were obedient, right? They learned how to obey the rules with reference to the manna, the commandments with reference to the manna. They learned, okay, I take a certain amount, I don't take on this day, and they learned. It's not this matter of being totally disobedient. The problem for Israel is this thing called selective obedience. Sometimes I obey, sometimes I don't, sometimes I rebel. Right? So in some areas they obeyed, in other areas they rebelled, and then when it came to that point of time when the Lord commanded them to go up against the Amorites, they disobeyed the Lord. Right? So what we see is this, it's this lack of earnestness. Right? It is not general obedience that is needed. It is earnest obedience. Right? And I want to ask you, how much effort do you really put into obeying the Lord? And that's critical, right? For a lot of us, we only look at obeying the Lord in a general sense. But earnest obedience goes beyond that. Earnest obedience means that in as many matters of my life as possible, I want to make sure that I am obeying the Lord and that I'm careful in it and that I'm diligent in it. And that's critical, right? So this is what we're looking at very, very much over here. And we read here, earnest, if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, these are the expressions of that earnestness. I mean, how can we talk about really, truly loving God if we're not earnest in it? Right? How can we talk about serving God with all our heart and with all our soul if we're not earnest in it? Right? And so this is what we got to ask ourselves. Am I truly, truly earnest in these things here? And that's important for us to look at. I mean, look, we think about this week and it was definitely a challenging week to look at. Right? There were 3 funerals this week alone. And of course, you know, it is challenging, and in some ways, it's physically draining as well, quite tiring. But if there was any moment that I felt at all physically tired out, I asked myself, I stopped myself, and I say to myself, there are people who are working far harder, who are truly illustrating what earnest obedience is about. I'm not the one conducting the services. That's Pastor, right? And then there's Pastor Ben, who spends the time to plan and organize all a lot of these things. How can we talk about really obeying the Lord, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, if I am not earnest in it, right? So it was special also to see some of you guys, some of the young guys, who helped with the AVA in the funeral ministry. I was telling some of the guys just now, I think I spent more time this week with Jovan than I did with my wife. Not anything, but because we were up and down bringing the funeral things here to church and things like that. And I spent a lot of time talking to him, relating, which is great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope he did too. No, but what is it all about? You see, it's no secret. How much effort do you really put into your faith? How much effort do you put into knowing the Word of God, into really obeying it? And it comes down to that. Right? We can look at it generally. Yeah, generally we love the Lord. Yeah, generally we serve the Lord. But are we diligent in it, conscientious in it, careful in it, and we just want to have this a part of our lives? How much effort do we really put into it? Right? We talk about secret. During the December holidays, I was watching a movie with my two sons. The movie is called Kung Fu Panda. Do you all know this? Maybe the young ones, you all know this? I don't know. They don't know what Kung Fu Panda is. Okay, and if you don't know what it is? Okay, never mind. pass. No need. No, but this is what we're talking about, secret. Honestly obey. And I want to challenge you to consider this. See, God wants to bless your life. God wants to help you. You're young and you look at the challenges ahead of you. How can I go through with university? How can I go through with O-levels? How can I go through with secondary school? And you feel like it's so hard to look at being able to succeed. I want to tell you something, right? At a youth worship like this, I want to tell you some basic things. One, God is going to be there for you. He is a covenantal God. He is committed to helping you for no other reason that you are His people. And so the name of God, the Lord our God, is specially given to remind us all the time, God will be there. Learn to believe in Him. Learn how to trust in Him. He is going to be your source of success. Bring God into your life. That's number one. But if you really want to learn how to relate to God, then you got to be earnest in it, right? You got to want to say, you know, really put heart and mind and soul into it. So I look at my own life, and over the years, I ask myself, how am I obeying the Lord? Am I earnest in it? So I sort out different areas of my life. Do I pray? Do I take time to memorize God's word? How do I serve God? How do I give an offering? Do I take time to set it aside? And my own hope and desire is that as many areas of my life as possible can be found to be in obedience to God. One, so I want to earnestly obey, right? Two, I really want to learn how to love the Lord. Let's not talk about love, right? Let's actually live a life for the Lord and love Him, right? And then talk about serving Him with all your heart and with all your soul. This is actually very much Deuteronomy 10, 12, like what we learned last week, half of it, the second half of it. The fear the Lord, walk in all His ways, right? How do you express that fear? How do you talk about walking in God's ways, earnestly obeying His commandments? So this is the secret, the open secret, right, of how to look at success. So this is what it is. And then this is the if, verse 13, if you earnestly obey my commandments. And then verse 14, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, right? Then God will give them everything they need. The rain, right? The early rain, the latter rain, the grass in the fields, God will give it to them and they will be abundantly provided for. That's what God will do. That's what God wants to do for us. If, and the word is if we earnestly obey His commandments. So this is something critical for us to think about. So there's one, the source of blessing. Two, there is the secret. That's our part It's how we want to obey the Lord, right? And then verse 18, and this is the next word that I want to share with you. How do you sustain a life of earnest obedience? Right? For many of us, after the youth conference, we thank God we got 3 post-conference that we help us to remain a little bit more. But once school starts, once all the challenges come, we say, how do I continue being earnest? Right? How do I sustain this life of earnest obedience? Right? And then there comes in verse 18. And it says here, Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You know, this is the secret to sustaining things. By laying up the word of God in our heart and in our soul. You know, it's just like, what does it mean by lay up? Right? You start with something. So you look at the whole book. How am I going to remember all of God's word and all of God's commandments? How am I going to do that? Don't do it all at one time. How do you lay up anything? You know, it's just like Jenga. You play Jenga, right? You start with small blocks. Okay, put 3. And then you put another 3. And then you put another 3. And slowly, you lay it up. Hey, next thing you know, you have a whole block of things that are there. And of course, don't play the game, because if you play the game, you start to pull out everything and then everything collapses. But how do we sustain? You lay it up. Lay up the Word of God in your heart and in your mind. You know, personally, I'm very, very committed to doing this. You know, to taking the time to memorize God's Word and to lay it up. Right? So I take a verse and then I put it down there. I try to remember it, and then I lay up. So even as I prepared for this message, I went back to the book of Deuteronomy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and I tried to take out one principle that I'm learning from each chapter, and I tried to lay it out. And so we lay things up bit by bit, right? Remember, in the early days, there's no scriptures. So how? If you don't remember it, it's gone. If Moses says all these things and you don't remember it, so how were things passed down in the early days? Oral tradition. They have to remember. What the parents tell the children, they have to remember. If you don't, you lose it. There's nothing to help you. So that's where it says here, bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Right? So, and then you employ all kinds of means to be able to do this. Right? So Christmas time, I was quite impressed that some of you are very good at designing. Right, so Chloe here did a Bible bookmark, right, of different verses, right. So there are different creative ways. Somebody did a calendar with the verses on them as well, right. There are many different ways, right, that you can do this. Mine is the most basic way, notebook. And I use a notebook, open it, write down verses, try to remember it. And it says here, lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Right? And I know myself. Right? I'm a person that everything must go through my mind first. And if I don't understand it, it cannot go deeper. So it goes through my mind, but the hope is that it will reach the heart. And ultimately, it touches the soul. Right? So this is what it is. If you want to live a life of earnest obedience to the Lord, and I want to tell you something. It cannot be sustained unless you practice verse 18. That you've got to lay up these words in your heart, in your soul, bit by bit, verse, one verse at a time. Try to make hiding God's word, memorizing God's word, a part of you. It will help you tremendously, right? And of course, how is this going to be sustained? It will have to be taught to the children. We've got no children, so don't worry about that. Right, verse 21, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them. Right, so how? How do we look at biblical success? 1, God is the source. Right, 2, secret, earnestly obey. 3, sustain this. Sustain that earnestness. How? Hide God's word in your heart. Lay it up in your heart and in your soul. Right? And then finally, we look at verse 26. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. You see, at the end of the day, you've got to make a choice for yourself. And I call this a significant choice. Why is it significant? You see, many of us, when we think about obeying God, when we think about really wanting to be earnest in obeying God, frankly, we don't take it seriously enough. We say, if we obey, okay, we don't obey, it's okay. If not, you try again. But look at this verse. Moses tells them this very clearly, right? He sets before them a choice. But this choice is a choice that comes with consequences. Okay? If you obey, blessing. If you do not obey, curse. That's what we mean by a significant choice. There are consequences, right? Remember, when the people that he was speaking to, remember the first generation. Look how God was with them, but they failed. Why? Because they were not earnest in their obedience to the Lord. Because they did not apply this particular quality of it all. And so they failed. Is it possible to end up failing in life? Is it possible to end up failing in school? Is it possible? Yes. And once that failure has happened, you cannot undo it. Right? Of course you can try, you can redo your exams, you can try to do all these things here, but once the failure has happened, the failure has happened. Right? But this is life. Here is a path in front of us. You know, it's like you only live once. It's true. You only live once. Not in the way they apply it, then do whatever you want. But because you only live once, therefore, earnestly obey God. Because there are consequences that will follow. And if I don't set out to do these things, then failure will come. Then no, the blessing of God will not come. But if I do, then I can see God blessing me and I don't have to fear for my future. And I don't have to be afraid of a lot of things, right? I just have to look at it and say, you know what? I'm just going to learn how to bit by bit earnestly obey God. And I can then trust God to bless. But it's a choice, young people, that you have to make for yourself. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to choose, right? This cannot be forced on any one of us. It's a choice you make. So you look at 2026. How do you want this year to go? Guess what? It's your choice, right? How is it going to turn out? Am I going to grow significantly? What's going to happen? Is God going to bless? Is God going to help me? Not just one year, but years and years and years down the road. How will my life turn out? Okay, Sarah, what will be. It doesn't work. How will life turn out? Much depends on the significant choices that you make today. And that choice is this. Obey. Right? Obey the Lord, and then it will help us to look at success one day. Right? So this is my encouragement even as we look at this message over here. Is it wrong to seek success? No. It is not wrong. But don't do it in a worldly way. Do it on God's terms. What are God's terms? God's terms are, one, that He is the source of it all. Let's look to Him as that source. And let's learn how to exercise that faith in Him. Let's learn how to trust Him. You know what? There are older ones who will be willing to share with you how God has helped them. Right? They have seen the Lord help them in their lives. Right? So to look at Gabriel over there, everybody thinks that he's successful all the time, he does well all the time. Well, let him share with you his story about his own studies and how the Lord blessed him. How he didn't do well and then the Lord blessed him. Right? There are people who have seen God's hand in their lives and they want to share it with you, even here at the youth worship. Right? That God is the source of it all. But two, the secret is that we have to look at earnestly obeying the Lord. You know, and that is what I want to do. I want to ask myself this, am I conscientious? Am I diligent? I want to look at each day and say that I have done my utmost to live for the Lord, whatever it may be, right? To spend time in prayer, to spend time studying the Word of God, to spend time in active service, to spend time, whatever, encouraging someone, talking to someone, helping someone. I ask myself this, how do I earnestly obey? Earnestly, all heart and soul into it. How do I do that? How do I speak of loving God if I'm not serving Him? If I'm goofing off? I don't want to do that. So there is love. And how do I look at serving Him with all my heart and with all my soul? And I want to make sure that each and every part of my life, my week, my day, can be given and dedicated over to the Lord. Well, that's what it is. We got to do our part, right? And the Lord is not expecting us to be perfect, but He's expecting us to be earnest. And you understand this. You do. Because you are earnest in a lot of things. Some people are very earnest in their hobbies. Rock climbing, right? Recently, I went rock climbing. You see those people that, they are very earnest. They are very good. They got the powder. They got it all. And they're ready. I don't know. They are very serious about, right? There are people who cycle, right? And they wake up 4 a.m. They can wake up 4 a.m. to cycle almost every day, right? There are people who do all kinds of things. They're so earnest in it. But why can't we take that earnestness and put it into our faith in God? Why not? Right? I see you all play during the games day. I see the way you play games. Super earnest. Right? Trying to keep up with you, I also can't keep up. My legs collapse and then I fall down. Right? But you see the way you play, your whole heart and mind and soul is into it. But why can't we be earnest when it comes to our own faith as well? That's a good goal to make for 2026. Right? And then you got to sustain it. You can be earnest for a short while, it doesn't work out. But I want to tell you this, the secret really of sustaining is to take time with God and His Word. There is no substitute for that, right? There is no substitute for taking time to be with the Lord, to memorize God's Word. And even if you are still struggling and still figuring out, at least you are trying. And I want to encourage you to try. Make this a part of you. Take a notebook. There are lots of Christmas notebooks, presents given out all over the place that can help us. I want to encourage you to try, right? And then finally, make a choice. We're at the start of the year. You still got time to make a resolution. Yeah? You still got time now. What is that resolution? That resolution is this. I am going to earnestly grow in my faith. I am going to earnestly learn. I am going to earnestly obey. I am going to earnestly love the Lord. And I am going to earnestly serve Him. Well, that must be the way we look at life. And if we can do this, why won't God bless? Why are we so worried about what the future will hold all the time? It says here, look at the blessings that, you know what it said? The land that they will occupy, that land is even better than Egypt. Egypt is like a vegetable garden. You've got to water it by foot. It's very tiring to water something by foot. I know I got a lot of plants at home. Got to water it all the time by foot, though. I set up an auto irrigation system. So I don't need to do that. You got to water it by foot. The land that you are going to cross over, there's hills and valleys. It is watered by the rain of heaven. And God cares for that land, right? The land for which the Lord your God cares, the eyes of the Lord are always on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Imagine that life that is blessed by God. It's very hard for us to imagine because you're looking from the beginning of it all. But there are people who have seen that blessing and they want to share with you. God is the source of it all. Right? We just got to learn what it means to walk with God, to be earnest in obeying Him, to love Him, to serve Him. Deuteronomy 10:12, apply it earnestly. And if we can do that, then do you not think God will bless you? Why will God not bless you? You are His people. You are His inheritance, as it says. And why would God not bless His people? Right? Much of it is for us to learn to do our part. And if we can do that, He is the source. We earnestly obey. We sustain. We choose. And if we can do that, then we can look forward to God's blessing upon us in the years to come. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you and we want to thank you that as we look at this text over here, that there is much to learn. And first and foremost, we thank you for being our God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who will help, will lead, will bless. You are a God whose great acts will be seen. We want to thank you for the God that you are. And we pray today that you teach us to respond well to you. Lord, teach us what it means to earnestly obey you. Teach us, Lord, how to do this, even though we may be young, even though we may try, and even though we may fail sometimes. Teach us, Lord, to keep on trying, to seeking to be earnest in obeying you. We pray and ask that you will help us to apply the things that we're learning today, and help us, Lord, to trust you so much more, to choose always to put you first. We ask that your grace will be given, even as we consider these lessons that we're learning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you for playing that. And I really want to encourage you, you know, we have a wonderful God. We really do. And the challenge is to really learn how to trust Him more. The challenge is to do our part. And if we do that, then God's blessings will be there. And you don't have to worry. Just do our part. Just do your part. And may 2026 truly be a wonderful year for you of learning many of these truths. Okay? Well, thank you. Have a great weekend.